All right, if you got your Bibles, we're going to be jumping to a lot of places. We started talking last week on a subject that I think is very important. And I told you we're not going to rush through this subject. We're not going to hurry through it. We're going to take our time. It's going to take a couple of weeks because how many of you guys know you can learn something new every time? And every time you hear something, you get something new from it. And so we're not going to try to rush through this. We're not going to try to blow through it quickly. I want to make sure that you guys kind of get a hold of what we're talking about. But we started talking about faith. And last week, I'm just going to review with you what we talked about last week very quickly here. We talked last week about the entrance of faith, how faith comes. And we read the scripture over in Mark 11, and you can mark this in your Bible and look at it later if you want to, but Mark 11, 12 through 14, and they're verse 20 through 22. And we said this, that Jesus basically gave us, you could think of it this way, an equation or what faith is, how faith comes. He said that basically he explained faith and how we can release in our life, how we can release God's power in our life, because this story is about Jesus and the fig tree when he curses the fig tree. And we talked a little bit about that, and what we said was this. We said three things last week about faith. We said, number one, anyone can have faith in God. And that's that scripture, Mark 11, 22 and 23. Anyone can have faith in God. It's not limited just to the 12 disciples. It's not just limited to Jesus. He basically told us anyone can have faith in God. And so we said this, number two, faith will come to you. Well, how does faith come to you? Romans 10, 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So how do you build your faith up? How do you get faith to come to you? You hear the word. And we said this, it's not just by hearing it once. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing, and hearing. When you hear the word of God, one thing will happen. It'll awaken faith. Amen? And when you know the word of God or the will of God, that's where your faith begins. So what happens is we hear this so anyone can have faith. And then we said this in number three last week. We said faith comes to us as we keep hearing the word of God. And that was Ephesians 1:13. It says in that scripture, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth. Well, how many of you know after you hear the word, faith comes? And that's what will happen. The more you hear it, the more you build your faith up. And so we said this, faith comes by hearing the word. How does it happen? The entrance of faith, or what happens is it's the word. So if anybody asks you, well, how does faith come? Well, you got to hear the word. Amen. And so faith comes by hearing the word. Now today we're going to start talking about the substance of faith. So we talked about the entrance of faith, how faith comes. It comes by hearing the word. Today we're going to talk about the substance of faith. So if you got your Bibles, look over here in Hebrews 11, and let's look at starting with verse 1. It says this, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of the things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Verse 6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So look at this. I want you to notice this in Hebrews 11. This is a definition of faith right here. And there's two words I kind of want you to look at, and we're going to highlight these throughout this message today. Substance and evidence. You notice this. The word substance and the word evidence are used to define faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So what are some other translations say? Listen to this. The basic English says this. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the sign that the things not seen are true. The good news says this. To have faith is to be sure of the things we hope for, to be certain of the things we cannot see. The literal translation says this. Now, faith is the essence of things being hoped for, the evidence of things not having been seen. The New Living Translation words it this way. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. Listen to that. What we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about the things we cannot see. I like this. The Weymouth translation says, now faith is a well-grounded assurance of that for which we hope for and a conviction of the reality of the things we do not see. And the Amplified says it this way, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Now, I love what they add here for the Amplified. It says this, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It's real fact. So, as we walk by faith, we must understand that we're walking. I want you to listen to this. As we walk by faith, we must understand that we are walking by the substance and evidence of what God's Word promises to us. Let me say that again. As we walk by faith, we must understand that we're walking by the substance and evidence of what God's Word promises to us. So number one, three things we're going to get out of this today. Number one, faith is a real substance. Faith is a real substance. The substance of faith, listen, is assurance and confidence in God. Let me say that again. The substance of faith is assurance and confidence in God. It's based upon the Word of God. It's based upon the Word of God. Faith is a substance that's not of this world. Now, I've made mention of this before. Faith is a substance of another realm. The faith we're talking about is not man faith. I call that man faith or natural faith. Do you understand what I mean by that? We're talking about God faith. We're talking about supernatural faith. The way that you get supernatural faith is by hearing the Word of God. It's different than having faith in a chair. That's natural faith. That's man faith. We're not talking about that kind of, we're talking about supernatural. The only way you get supernatural faith is by what? What we said earlier, by the entrance of God's Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So the way that you get the faith that Jesus was talking about in Mark 11 is by what? By hearing the Word and hearing the Word and hearing the Word. The more you hear the Word, the more you're building your faith up. Faith is a substance, and it's assurance and confidence in what God has said. Now, you know, most of the time when people read that scripture about hope, we think hope as hope of how people look at hope, naturally speaking. And hope for us, how many of you guys know you've heard people say this? Oh, I just hope it happens. You ever hear anybody say that? Good. You guys are hanging out with good spiritual people. We've all heard it. How many of you have ever said it? Good. Nobody raise your hands. Because I've said it. You know, oh, I hope it does this. Anybody ever say, I just hope, here we go. Especially with the weather we're living in right now. I hope it rains. Well, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just kind of hoping if it rains, it rains. If it don't, it don't. You know, oh, I hope it's not hot today. Well, what's that mean? Well, if it's hot, it's hot. If it's not, it's not. I hope. And so a lot of times people look at God's Word that way. Well, you know, I'm hoping for this. Well, if it works, it works. If it don't, it don't. But Bible hope is confidence. It's confident in what God said that He will do what He said He will do. It's that assurance. It's that confidence. So faith is a real substance. Faith is a heavenly substance given to us from God. I love this. And it's not governed by earthly laws. Faith is not governed by circumstances, feelings, or emotions. Faith is governed, listen, by what a person believes and speaks. That's Mark 11:23. The word of God you speak when circumstances are negative and you don't feel good, listen, are just as powerful as the words you speak when circumstances are positive and you feel good. So the word is just as powerful when you speak it, whether you feel good or you don't. On a good day, the word never loses its power. That ought to make you just say, "Woo! Thank goodness. Praise the Lord." Amen? So when you wake up, if you feel good, the word works. But when you wake up and you don't feel good, the word still works. When you wake up and you go, you know, you feel goosebumps because you feel the presence of the Lord still works. But if you wake up and you feel like a wrung out, dry out sponge, it still works. Aren't you glad for that? Because that means the word is working. It's not moved by earthly laws. We must keep believing and speaking the word. Listen, no matter what happens. No matter what happens. So no matter what it looks like, you stand on the word. You keep saying it. You say, "But Pastor, what happens if nothing changes?" The word works and it will change. And you might say, "But what happens if I go home to be with the Lord?" Not a bad day. You know, I've gotten to the place in my life, and Pastor Rob got me here to where he always would say, "I'll keep speaking the word, and if I die, I'm going to speak the word on my deathbed. I'm not going to stop speaking the word of God. I will always speak the word of God." Why? Because, I mean, you think about it. We win this thing anyway. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your... We win this thing in the end. Amen? So we can continue to speak that word no matter what happens. Always speak the word. You might say, "But I got all of these negative things and all these bad things going on in my life." The word still works. Did it work when you had a good day? Yes. Does it work when you're having a bad day? Yes. It works. Always speak the word no matter what happens. Faith works. It will get you the results you have asked for. Amen? Keep this in mind. Faith is a heavenly substance that God has deposited in us. Oh, this will get you shouting right here. That is bigger and more powerful than any circumstance that you face. Listen to that. Keep this in mind. Faith is a heavenly substance. Listen. That God has deposited in you, it's in us, that is bigger and more powerful than any circumstance you face. More powerful, bigger than any circumstance. Who was a person in the Bible that did it? Abraham. He kept believing God in spite of his circumstances. He kept believing God when he faced problems that seemed like nothing was going to change. He believed what God word, and he received the promise of God. God told him he was going to be the father of many nations. The guy was well past childbearing years. But he believed the word, because when God spoke to him, what did God tell him? Your descendants will be like the stars and the sand. He kept strong in faith. He didn't look at his body. The Bible says he didn't consider his body yet dead. He didn't consider what was going on. He considered the promises of God. So in the midst of anything, when we're believing God, faith is a real substance that God has literally deposited on the inside of you if you're a child of God, and it's bigger than anything you'll ever face. Think about that. That's why that scripture says you are more than an overcomer through Christ, because you've got faith on the inside of you to help you overcome anything. Isn't that awesome? So that means you cannot be defeated. So number one, faith is a real substance. Get ready. We're getting better. Every time we add a point, there's only 3 points. We're on number two. Hold on. Faith is always present tense. Faith is always present tense. It's not future tense. What is that? If you notice that scripture, it says now faith. Now is what? Now. It's not future. Amen. Faith does not merely look into the future with a wishful eye and hope God will do something. Faith looks back at the promise of God or God's word and says, "It is mine now. I receive it now." It doesn't just look forward with this wishful eye of like, "Oh, I hope God does something." It looks back and says, "You know what? If God did it back there, it's mine today." Faith looks back at what Jesus did on the cross and says, "It's mine today." I mean, you know, one of the things that, for me, I'll just tell you, I've told this story before, it really helped me out, because there was something I was going through in life, and man, I was dealing with something, and I just couldn't seem to get on the other side of it. It was like I kept pushing and pushing, and I mean, everybody prayed for me, and nothing was changing. And I could never figure it out. I was just like, what am I doing? I knew it was something I was doing. I knew it wasn't God. I knew I wasn't mad necessarily at God, but I did get frustrated with him because I was frustrated at myself. I was like, what is going on? Like, why can't I figure this out? And I'll never forget it. We here at that time, prayer was on a Tuesday night, and we were praying here at the church. And as we were praying, I was praying for, you know, whatever we were praying for. It wasn't myself. I wasn't praying for me. We were praying for somebody else and praying for certain things. And all of a sudden, the Lord just said to me, just to my heart, right down on the inside of me, he said, he can't steal it unless you've got it. And I thought, can't steal what? He said, you can't steal it unless you already have it. And then he said, a thief won't take something unless you have it. And then I was reminded of the scripture, John 10:10. For the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and you might have it more abundantly. He said, healing is already yours. The devil's trying to steal it. He said, hold on to it. And I remember I was praying right here, and I thought, I remember I got it. It just like, it went off on the inside of me, like I told you last Sunday. And I was like, wait a second, on the cross, healing was mine. Forgiveness was mine. That's mine. So I looked back at the cross and said, that's mine. I take a hold of it today. It's mine right now. So I got a hold of that, and the Lord helped me out because for so long, I didn't understand that. I didn't realize. I was like, well, wait a second. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, how can anybody steal something if I ain't got it? If I don't have joy, why is he going to steal from me? I'm going to take your joy. I ain't got none, so what are you going to do with it? But what's he going to try to do? Steal your joy. Why? Because you got the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why is he going to try to take your peace? My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Why is he going to try to steal it? Because it's yours. You've got it. So when I realized that, I went, well, wait a second. I've got it. It's mine today. So that's what faith does. It looks back. It doesn't look forward with that wishful eye like, oh, I just hope. It says, wait a second. If it's in the Word and Jesus got it for me, that's mine today. I can have it. Faith is a substance, but faith is also present tense. This is the day, 2 Corinthians 6:2. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the day. Today is the day of salvation. That's what that scripture says. Today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, not next week, when? Today. Today, now is the time to receive all that God has promised for us. Today. So faith is a real substance. It's a substance that God has deposited on the inside of every believer that is bigger than anything you will ever face. It'll help you overcome anything. But not only is it a real substance, it's always present tense. It doesn't just look way out to the future and hope. It looks back at what's been done for us and says, it's mine today, right now. Amen? Today is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait till tomorrow. You don't have to wait till tomorrow for God to change some things in your life today. Amen? You know, I realized when I started getting a hold of the things of God, I realized, why do I have to wait till Sunday for God to do something in my life? Why can't God do something in my life on Monday? How many of you know, Mondays for most people, I used to read Garfield comics when I was a kid. And my dad always told me I was like Garfield because Garfield hates Mondays. He would always, that was his big thing, the comic, you know, Garfield. And Garfield would always say, I hate Mondays. I hate them, you know. And I'd always tell my dad when I was a kid, you know, I don't like Mondays. Why? Well, because your weekend's done. And you're like, ugh, you know. And as an adult, you're like, yeah, I got to go back to work tomorrow. Tomorrow's Monday. But you know what? God can work in your life on Monday just as much as he can on Sunday. And he can work on your life on Wednesday just as much as he can on Monday. God's not just like limited to your Wednesdays and your Sundays. He wants to work in your life throughout the whole week. And that's what's awesome about it. So, you know, faith says now, today is the day. So why wait till tomorrow for God to start changing things in your life? Just say, today is the day. Amen? Today, right now is the day. Today is my day. It's mine right now. I don't have to wait till Wednesday. I don't have to wait till 27 years. Here's something else I love. You don't have to be a certain age for God to work in your life. You know, I mean, isn't that awesome? When I got saved when I was 18, I was like, praise God. He just looked at me and saw the potential in me that I didn't know was there. He saw something in me. He believed in me. And how many of you know, I'm so glad God didn't say, well, you're 18. You're too young to receive from me. No, you can be 18, you can be 40, you can be 50, you can be 60, you can be 70, you can be 80, you can be 12, you can be 7 and 8 years old and receive from God. Amen? Faith is a real substance, but faith is also always present tense. And number 3, faith is available to us now. You don't have to wait until someday to have faith. Listen to this. Get a hold of this. This will help you out. This helped me out when I heard this. God has given us the measure of faith when we are born again. Romans 12:3. Look at that scripture right there. Romans 12:3. Let's look at this. This is good. Because sometimes people say, oh, but you know, I'm not a pastor. I don't have faith like you. Don't listen to that. Amen. You can have faith. And this is good. It's deposited, but look at this. There's a measure for each one of us. Romans 12 and verse 3. For by the grace, the unmerited favor of God given to me, I warn everyone among you not to estimate and to think of himself more highly than he ought, not to have an exaggerated opinion of his own importance, but to rate his ability with sober judgment, each according to the degree of faith apportioned by God to him. Now that's the Amplified. Let me read the King James for you. It says it this way, Romans 12:3. It says, for I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according to God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Every man the measure of faith. Every man the measure of faith. It's possible for you to have faith in God right now. There's a measure of faith when you're born again that's deposited on the inside of you. Now, here's the thing. Jesus said to have faith in God. Mark 11:22 can be translated this way. Have the faith of God or have the God kind of faith. As a Christian, you already have faith in God as soon as you're born again. Think about that. When you get born again, you already got faith in God. Isn't that awesome? It's already there. So, but here's the thing about this. There's already that faith that's deposited. There's a measure when you get born again on the inside of every believer. But here's the thing with faith. Listen to this right here. However, your faith will need to be developed by feeding and acting on the Word of God. So your faith can grow. You can have more faith by feeding and acting on the Word. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. So when you're born again, there's a measure of faith given to every person that's a child of God. You have faith in God. That's awesome. So there's faith already there. Amen? Now, you can grow your faith and develop your faith by hearing the word and acting on the word. So when you hear on the word, you're growing your faith. When you act on the word, you're growing your faith. So you're hearing and you're acting. You're hearing and you're acting. It's kind of like, and the greatest example you can give, most people have heard this, it's like a muscle. The more you use it, the more you develop it. How many of you know, like a lot of times they'll tell you, as you get older, to stay what? To stay active. Why? Because if you use something, it stays active, it grows. But if you don't do something, how many of you have ever had something done like a procedure and you've had to stay in bed for a long time? How about any of you ever broken a bone? Man, y'all just, like, what'd you, like, live in a bubble room? Like, I broke, like, so many bones. I broke my foot. I've still got to work on that one. I broke my foot. My mom and dad still didn't believe me. I'm going to talk to my dad when we get to heaven. Be like, why didn't you believe me? I broke my foot. I broke my foot. They didn't believe me, but I did. I broke it. And the doctor told him he broke his foot. I broke my foot. I broke my arm. I was playing soccer when I was at the middle school one time, and I broke my arm. And so I'll never forget it. They put my arm in a cast. And usually you have your arm in a cast for how long? 6 to 8 weeks or whatever it is. Nowadays, they do all these cool things, like they pop joints back in and they set it. they didn't set it with me and forget it. They just put a cast on and forgot about it. And so if you touch my wrist, I have this bump, and that's where my bone set when I broke it. And so that's how they did my bone. They didn't do nothing fancy. They just stuck a cast on it. But, you know, when they put that cast on my arm and they took that cast off, anybody ever have that? What happened? My arm was like, because I hadn't used it for so long. So what did I have to do? I had to start moving it and use it and get the strength back in my arm. It kind of reminds me, one time I had this happen. This is a funny story. I fell asleep, and I fell asleep on my arm for a long period of time, Not like 40 minutes, but like a couple hours. And so I woke up. I'll tell you no lie. This is how it was. I woke up, and I got out of bed and went like this, and I smacked myself because it was just dead weight. And I was like, oh, my arm's dead. I was like, what's going? And I was like smacking it on things, and it was just flailing about. And I realized, like, oh, I got to get blood. So I took my other hand and grabbed my finger and was like, oh, and I was like, got to move my pinky. And all of a sudden, I felt the blood start going through my fingers. I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. And I just sat there for a moment, had to work my arm. But how many of you know that's kind of a good way to think of faith? You've got faith, but if you don't use it, it's just Ooh, but James says it's dead. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. Faith without works is dead. James says you got to use your faith to keep it alive. The more you use it by feeding on the word and acting on the word, the stronger it gets. And that's what's awesome. You don't have to stay where you are right now with the faith you've got. You can build it up. Faith is available to you right now today. It's there on the inside of every single person here that's a child of God. But now you got to feed on it. Now you got to activate it. Now you got to work it every single day. Faith is present tense. Faith doesn't just look to the future. It acts today. And not only that, faith is a substance. Faith is right there on the inside of you. And isn't that amazing? Think about this. God says, I'm going to deposit on them, on the inside of them, faith. And that faith, if they build that faith and strengthen that faith and act on that, that faith on the inside of them will help them to overcome in life. Isn't that amazing? God like didn't just be like, well, we'll just figure this out later. He said, no, I'm going to deposit this right down on the inside of you and you become a child of God. So we all have a measure of faith. You can have more faith by feeding and acting on the word. Now here's the question you have to ask yourself. The question is not if you have little or great faith. That's not the question, because most people go, I have little faith, I have no faith. That's not the question. The real question is this: will you use the faith that God has already given you? That's the question to ask yourself. Not, oh, I don't have enough faith, I have little faith. No, will you use the faith that God has given you? So I would encourage you, start using your faith. Encourage you to use the faith that you had. Use the faith that God's already given you, that measure. Start using it. Start believing God. Start acting on the word. You can do that. You can start today. You know, and start. Here's something that you can do. How many of you guys know? I'll use myself here because I've done a lot of crazy things in my life. And they're good sermon illustrations. But when I would go to the gym, The thing I figured out with the gym, my brother was really into fitness for a while. We were talking about my brother this weekend with somebody. I mean, Josh was into it, die hard. I mean, Josh was like ripped, whoa, like, you know, like, I mean, he could like bench press me and like break me in half. I was like, oh, Jesus, you know, but that was my brother. And my brother, you know, he was always developed and worked out all the time. He ate properly. He did all this stuff. I mean, when I left home when I was younger, when I was a little older, I was 19, I'm older now, but I left home when I was younger, and I came back, my brother was just like ripped. I was like, holy cow, man, like what did you do? Like I left, you were skinny, and now you could like beat me up, like I'm not going to make you mad. And so anyway, but my brother, he worked, he developed, he did all these things. And so we used to go to the gym together, my brother and I. And so I would work out. My thing was just stay healthy. I was like, I could eat like 1,200 calories and I'll burn them. My metabolism is just crazy fast. And So like for me, it was like, I'm gonna have to eat like half the house in order to gain like a pound. Now as I've gotten older and I've got a son, it's like, now I have to like work really hard to keep the pound off. I'm like, why couldn't that happen when I was 20? You know, now I'm older, my metabolism has slowed down. But, you know, when I was younger, I would go to the gym with my brother and I'd work out and we would do things and he would help me out. And I was doing that to stay physically fit. And so there was a time where I had quit working out for a while and I wanted to get back into working out. And so I had this rocket science idea. I have no idea where I came up with this, but I'm just going to get ripped quick. You like those commercials like lose weight fast, you know, order now, drop 5 pounds in one day. And you're like, oh, Jesus, yes, order now. How much? And so I thought, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get buffed and ripped really quick. So I went to the gym and hit it hard. I mean, hard. And I put weights on that, you know, I was doing all the weights and I'm in the gym and impressing everybody, you know, doing my weightlifting. How many of you know that was not the smartest idea your pastor ever had? Because when I woke up the next morning, I couldn't move, y'all. And there was no amount of faith that got me moving because I did that to myself. I was like, and so I was, you know, I couldn't move. I was stuck. And it was like, I tell the story all the time, like I went to the shower to wash, and I went to wash my hair, and I couldn't reach my head because that's how bad my arms hurt. They were stuck like this. So I poured shampoo in my hair and threw it with, you know, like the intent of hopefully just hitting my hair, you know, like this side got clean and this side. But that's what I was doing in the shower. And so, and I mean, I was walking like this, and it was like, I mean, it was horrible, y'all. Well, I learned a lesson real quick. What was that? Start small and go big. And so I remember when I learned that lesson, I would go back to the gym and I would always start real small. And I can always remember being in there working out and I'm just barely doing weights, lightweight. And I remember these guys would come in ripped and they'd be like, you know, lower it down, and they would grab it and do it. But I'd always say to myself, I may be starting small, but one day I'll be where you're at. I may start small, but I'll get there. It may take some time. That's how faith is. Don't sit there and compare yourself and say, man, so-and-so, look at what they're doing. Start small. Just believe God for something. Amen. Use that faith a little bit. Just use it. It's there on the inside of you. You got it. You say, well, how do I use it? Start small. Believe God for maybe for your lunch one day. Believe God, Lord, thank you, you provide for my lunch. Believe God, maybe, you know, for your kid, if your kid has something coming up, like our son has a birthday coming up here in a couple of months, you know, from now, he'll be 2 years old. And so maybe I say, you know what, I'm going to believe God for a gift for Dax and put my faith on that and believe God. Maybe you need like a new pair of shoes. Believe God for the new pair of shoes. Maybe, you know, you need God like a new coat or something. Believe God for something. Put your faith on it. Now, you know, can I be honest? I'm not going to tell who did this in this church because they know when I tell this story, they're going to know. And so I'm not going to say nothing. This is not bad. This is actually really good. But this shows you how faith works. Lonnie and I were here at the church. It's been a while back. Lonnie and I were talking, and we were talking. I think it was at the church. It was actually in the car. Lonnie and I were on a delivery together. We were in the car talking. Lonnie and I get in the car. We start talking about God and things, and we get excited and we drink coffee and then we go a mile a minute and we can't shut up. And so Lonnie and I were hanging out. We were doing some deliveries and we were talking. And I was telling Lonnie about food. And we were talking about my dad and how my dad cooked food and certain food we liked when we were kids. And so I told Lonnie, I love goulash, Lonnie. And Lonnie goes like, well, how did your dad? And so Lonnie and I start talking about goulash. And so we're laying out the recipe for goulash. And I mean, I was like, glory to God. I told Lonnie, I said, I want goulash. I could taste it in my mouth in Jesus' name. I need goulash now. And so Lonnie and I were talking about goulash, okay? No lie. I'll tell you the truth. Somebody in this church came to my house, knocked on my door. This has been a while back. And left a package on my door. And you know what was in the package? Goulash. I was like, Lord, you heard my prayer. I told Lonnie, I said, I opened that thing up and I started eating that goulash. I was like, oh, Lord Jesus, it's goulash. And so, I mean, you say, what does that mean? It activated it. I used my faith. And what was awesome was that person's obedience to God. They obeyed God. They knocked it out of the park on obeying God. It built my faith up. What did it do? Strengthened my faith. And you know, I mean, I was so encouraged by that when I saw it. I thought, man, praise God for goulash. Amen. Now I'm going to go to the house and there's going to be 40 bags of goulash. I have to call everybody like, quit bringing me goulash. But just start small. Faith is a substance. Amen. It's present tense, right now. It's now. But then use the faith you've got. Start using that faith and start small. Maybe it's believing God for your meal, your shoes. Start small. I always tell people, you know, don't believe God for the car. Maybe just believe God for a gallon of gas. Amen? And you say, well, why believe for the gas? Because if you believe God for the gas and you see he's faithful, your faith will get stronger. Eventually, you'll be like me in that gym where you'll get there to where you start believing God for bigger things. But don't start that big first. Start small and strengthen it and build your faith up. Amen? So I want to encourage you, use the faith you have now. God has already given you the measure of faith. And this is the last thing. God will reward your faith when you use it. Determine to use your faith today. Just determine that you're going to use it. Say to yourself, you know what? I'm going to use my faith this week. Amen? Find something to believe God for this week. Use your faith on something. Believe God for it. And start small. Like I said, just start small and build your faith up. And what you'll see is he's faithful to his word. And that encourages you, strengthens your faith, and then you keep going. So we talked last week about the entrance of faith, which is what? How does it come? By hearing the word. Today we talked about the substance of faith. Now next week, Rick and Carrie will be here, but after that we're going to pick back up. On faith, I'll tell you right now how many pages I have on faith. There's 50 pages of notes on faith. So I'm not saying we're going to preach 50 pages. Somebody's like, Lord, we'll never get out of church. I'm using my faith right now, Pastor, that you'll be quiet so I can go to Cracker Barrel. But, you know, I'm just saying we got things that we can talk about. So what we're going to do is always go back and review and add a little bit more. And here's what will happen when you come out of this series. Your faith is going to be built up. Amen. How many of you glad you came to church today? Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I just thank you for these men and women. Thank you, Lord, for their faithfulness to be here. I pray this message has resonated with their heart. And I thank you, Lord, that as they go forth from this place, that this week they will use their faith. And Lord, I thank you that as they do, that you are faithful. You're faithful to watch over that word in their life, faithful to perform it. I thank you, Lord, that we have testimonies of people using their faith. And we thank you, Lord, that you meet their needs, that you help them out in all these areas. And as they use their faith in a little area, Father God, that you'll show yourself strong on their behalf and it'll strengthen their faith. It'll build their faith up. And we just thank you for it. And Father, we give you praise. We give you glory and we give you honor in Jesus' name.